good news of the grace of justification. Let's confess our faith of that free gift of righteousness in Christ. Lord's Day 23, in the back of your Psalter hymnals, Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 23, page 881. The freedom papers and the freedom declaration of the believer. Page 881. Just spoken of what a Christian must believe. The whole Bible is summarized in the articles of the Apostles' Creed. And we've studied the statements, the 12 articles of the Creed. A summary of the whole Bible. But now, we ask in the next question there, in Lord's Day 23, 59. How does it help you now that you believe all this? How does it help you? That I am righteous in Christ before God and an heir to life everlasting. How are you righteous before God? Only by true faith in Jesus Christ. Even though my conscience accuses me of having grievously sinned against all God's commandments, of never having kept any of them, and of still being inclined toward all evil, nevertheless, without any merit of my own, out of sheer grace, God grants and credits to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ. As if I had never sinned nor been a sinner, and as if I had been perfectly obedient as Christ was obedient for me, if only I accept this gift with a believing heart. Why do you say that through faith alone you are righteous? Not because I please God by the worthiness of my faith, for only Christ's satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness are my righteousness before God. And I can receive this righteousness and make it mine in no other way than by faith alone. Faith receives Christ as our righteousness. And let's read of that in Romans 3, verses 19 through 31. Beginning to read at verse 19. Romans 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just, and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith, apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. Since God is one who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith, do we then overthrow the law by this faith? No. By no means, on the contrary, we uphold the law. This is God's word. May he bless it to our hearts and lives. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, today we come to the shocking news of the gospel. Shockingly good, shockingly offensive to the world. It's something called the justification of sinners. The justification of sinners. And that's the truth of God's grace that we want to explore and understand and adore with God's help this afternoon. The justification of sinners. God's shocking acquittal of sinners. And may God open our hearts and minds to embrace him and enjoy him as the God of grace for us gross sinners. May this be a call to put our faith in him. And no longer to walk in the darkness of our own hearts. God's shocking acquittal is for the convicted sinner, we read, first of all. It's a shocking acquittal by the righteous judge. And it's an acquittal we receive through faith in Jesus Christ. So three things. It's a shocking acquittal for the convicted sinner, an acquittal given by the righteous judge, and received through faith in Jesus Christ. First then, God's shocking acquittal, his not guilty declaration, not guilty verdict, is for convicted, condemned criminals, sinners. We've been studying what true faith believes. It believes the one true God, the Father, our Creator, His Son, our Redeemer, His life-giving Spirit. But do you know what happens when you believe in Him? When you give up on yourself, you become desperate to become right with God, and you turn to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Do you know what happens when you believe in Him? When you see that you deserve nothing but God's wrath, and so you run to Jesus and look to His works to rescue you from God's wrath? Do you know what He does to you when you come to Him and entrust your life to Him for safety and for glory? Do you know what happens to you? God justifies you. He justifies you. In spite of all your transgressions, all your crimes, all your horribleness as a person before God and in front of other people. And we haven't been that great. In spite of all your guilt, all the punishment you deserve, when you believe in this God who sent Jesus Christ as a payment and pardon for your sins, God, the holy heavenly judge, delivers to your life a shocking acquittal from his courtroom in heaven. As it were, he pounds the gavel, the table with the gavel, the judge's bench in heaven, and he says, not guilty. Contrary to the charge against you, not guilty, innocent, you are righteous in my sight. That's what it means to be justified or acquitted before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this is a free gift for you apart from anything you've ever done, because certainly you are not guilty in yourself. It's apart from your works. You can't earn this acquittal by trying to do your best. As is the religion of modern North America, do your best and God will do the rest. You can't earn this acquittal by trying your best and try with your good deeds to outweigh your bad deeds and come out ahead. As Paul says to those who receive this gift, if you go by your works, you will only be convicted as a sinner. If God should judge us by our works, no living person can be justified. No one's good enough. No one's holy enough. And in Romans 3, that's what Paul's been doing, giving us our verdict under the law. Romans 3, verse 20. Look there, Romans 3, verse 20. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. Under the law, under our performance, Jews and Gentiles alike are under sin. And that's the shocking thing that Paul is declaring to the Jewish people. Whether you grew up inside the church as a covenant child or outside the church as a godless heathen, our verdict is the same under the law. We're lawbreakers in God's sight. We're guilty, convicted of crimes of every kind, condemned. I am no better than the people outside of the covenant under the law. Paul says, none is righteous. In Romans 3, verses 10 and 11. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks after God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. And that's true whether you're Jew or Gentile, in the church or outside, under the law. And brothers and sisters, this is what faith believes. Faith believes this about ourselves. Faith accepts God's guilty verdict under the law. And if I try to find favor with God through my own law keeping, through my own honesty, my own kindness, my own piety, my own morality, my own religious heritage, my own upbringing or activity or character, I'm absolutely guilty. I'm no better than anybody else. I'm under God's wrath. Your works are not going to work. That's the message of the gospel. Your works are not going to work. Your works condemn you, convict you as a sinner, as a criminal before God. And the grace of justification is a grace given to sinners only. Romans 4, God justifies the ungodly. And I am righteous before God only in Christ by faith. As we confess together in the catechism, even though my conscience accuses me of having grievously sinned against all God's commandments, of never having kept any of them, and of still being inclined toward all evil, nevertheless without any merit of my own. Justification is God's free gift for sinners, not for sinners who've cleaned up their act enough to make themselves worthy of God, not for sinners who've turned a new leaf and who've earned the right now to receive God's favor. No, for sinners only, who give up on themselves, who no longer put confidence in anything inside themselves, who see that even their virtues are only sin in God's sight, even our virtue. It's for sinners. And this is the good news. This gift of acquittal is for all who believe, regardless of what kind of sinner you are, church sinner, non-church sinner, baptized, unbaptized, Jew or Gentile. We remember that the ground at the foot of the cross is level. Nobody is more worthy of this gift than another. We're equally unworthy, and therefore, it's equally for every sinner. Well, let's see, secondly, this shocking acquittal is only for convicted sinners. And it's given to you by not an unrighteous judge, not by an unjust judge, but by a righteous judge, God. And that's the great offense of the justification of sinners by God. How can God be at the same time just and justify the guilty? That doesn't work, does it? How can you be a just judge and acquit the guilty? That's a problem, you might say, that Paul is solving in Romans 3. If God is truly righteous, a righteous God and judge, then he will not convict the innocent, and he will not acquit the guilty. He won't turn a blind eye and to justice and just let the murderer go scot-free. And he won't say to the thief who's been defrauding money from people and getting rich by putting families into poverty, he won't say to the thief, you're innocent. Because what happens then to justice? What happens to the families that got robbed? What is there for them in this gift of justification, of declaring criminals righteous? Any judge in our legal system that functions this way, who convicts the innocent and acquits the guilty, will be thrown off the bench. And that's the problem Paul is solving. How can God be a righteous judge, just, and justify the wicked, the criminal, acquit them, say you're not guilty, when they are, when we are? Is it possible? Can God be both a righteous judge and a merciful judge at the same time? And the answer is, thank God, yes, in Christ Jesus. And that's what the Holy Spirit is telling us in Romans 3, 21 through 26. If you go there in your Bibles, Romans 3, 21 through 26. Though the righteousness of God revealed in the law convicts us of sin and condemns us, God has revealed his righteousness in another way, brothers and sisters. Apart from the law, verse 21, his righteousness is revealed in the law, and that convicts us and condemns us. But his righteousness is revealed in another way, apart from the law, in the gospel. And this is the gospel. There is a righteousness given to us in Christ by faith. There are two kinds of righteousness described here. A law righteousness or a works righteousness, which depends upon your own performance, and therefore fails and leaves you guilty. There's a law righteousness. But in the gospel, God has made known a Christ righteousness or a grace righteousness that acquits us and justifies us completely before God. And what is this Christ righteousness? It's a free gift created for us through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, says the apostle. Verse 24 and following, here's what God did. He put forward Christ Jesus as a propitiation for us by his blood to be received by faith. He put forward Jesus Christ as a propitiation for us. What does that mean? Propitiation means an offering that clears away God's wrath from me. Clears away my debt, my guilt, and God's wrath. That's what God has done in Christ. Here I am, guilty and condemned under the law. An awful person who's done awful things in my mind and in my body to God and to others. And I'm under God's righteous wrath and judgment, but God in his great love put forward Christ as a payment, as a propitiation for me, to pay the price for my sin that sets me free from God's anger and condemnation. Jesus took my place. Jesus took my crimes. Jesus took my punishment. Jesus took the wrath of God that was on me. He paid to God everything I owe. It was through his blood that my guilt was atoned for. And through his accursed, hellish suffering and death on the cross under the wrath of God. And that is the Christ righteousness that God has provided for me. Not a works righteousness of my own performance to pay God back for my sins, but the performance of Jesus Christ, the works of another who's paid God back what I owe for my sins in my place. And through that Christ righteousness, God shows his own perfect righteousness when he justifies sinners. You read that in verse 25b and 26. He shows his own perfect righteousness when he justifies sinners. He's a just judge. He doesn't overlook our sin. He doesn't turn a blind eye to my crimes. He doesn't ignore what I owe the victims of my crime. No, he hates sin with a perfect, passionate hatred, so much so that he punished it in his one and only Son, who became man for us, who became our brother. And God put on him all my iniquities, and Jesus gave to the Father all that I owe, so that my sin is paid for and punished in full. God allows no sin to go by. He's just. He's righteous. Every sin gets its full due. And at the same time as he's just, he's the justifier of the guilty sinner who has faith in Jesus, who purchased redemption. He is the just justifier. And brothers and sisters, justice and grace embrace each other perfectly and wonderfully at the cross of Jesus. That's where all our sin got its righteous due, through the blood of Christ, says Hebrews 9, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God and secured for us an eternal redemption. And so we praise God for his mercy in providing for us that free and gracious gift of a Christ righteousness, who in spite of all my own unrighteousness and wickedness under the law, nevertheless without any merit of my own, out of sheer grace, God grants and credits to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ, as if I had never sinned nor been a sinner, and as if I'd been as perfectly obedient as Christ was obedient for me, if only I accept this gift with a believing heart. Brothers and sisters, think about the good news of what the righteous judge gives you in Christ. That when you belong to Jesus Christ by faith, God looks at you as if you have never ever sinned. And he looks at you as if you had always been obedient. Those two sides of one coin. Not because you have never sinned and not because you've always been obedient, but because Christ accomplished that for you. That's the Christ righteousness that God has provided. And so Jesus, through his perfect law-keeping life and through his perfect sin-paying death, he is God's gift of righteousness for me. It's perfect righteousness. It's blameless righteousness. You can't poke a hole through that righteousness. If it's yours, no sin will be found in your account. It makes you forever right with God and an heir to life everlasting. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation, Romans 8, verse 1, for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's flawless, which makes you stand faultless before God's throne now and when you die and at the last judgment. When you are joined to Jesus by faith, all your sin becomes Jesus, belong to Jesus. And all his righteousness becomes yours. There's the exchange of the cross. My sins are imputed to him. His righteousness is imputed, credited to me. And having been justified by faith, I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. Knowing that Christ is my perfect righteousness. And when God looks at me, he looks at me as I am in Christ, and he loves me. He loves me fully. He loves me freely. He loves me forever. And I do not need to be afraid. And this doesn't make the Christian say, well, then, since I get so much grace, let me go on sinning so I can get more grace. No, now that I have peace with God, I'm no longer afraid to get up in the morning and serve him. I don't have to be afraid of making mistakes like he's going to zap me because something might go wrong. No, I serve a God who loves me, and that sets me free to offer my life to him, to risk myself for his glory because I'm free in Christ. God loves me forever in Christ, and nobody, nothing can take that away from me. Well, we see thirdly, this shocking acquittal. God declaring me not guilty based on Christ's righteousness, not works righteousness. That acquittal is received through faith in Jesus Christ. That's the third thing the Holy Spirit emphasizes here about the grace of justification in Romans 3. It's received only through faith in Jesus Christ. Seven times in verses 21 through 31, the apostle stresses that. Follow along with me. Verse 22. It's a righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. There, through faith is mentioned twice. Through faith in Christ for all who have faith, all who believe. Verse 25. This Christ's righteousness is received by faith. 26. It's for the one who has faith in Jesus. 27. All boasting is excluded by the law of faith. 28, we're justified by faith apart from the works of the law. 30, God is the God who justifies the circumcised through faith and the uncircumcised through faith. It's through faith. It's when we believe that God's acquittal comes our way. And God says of your life, not guilty, righteous in my sight. Again, I'm going to stress how we're not justified. Based on the context of Romans 3, Paul is saying to the Jewish people, we're not justified by baptism or by circumcision. It's a sign and seal of our justification, very powerful, but we're not justified by baptism. And therefore, secondly, you're not justified just by growing up in a Christian home or in the Christian church. It's a huge blessing to be taught this gift from childhood. And to grow up with this good news, but you're not justified by growing up with this good news. It's a sad thing to think that many expect to make it to heaven just by sauntering through life in the halls of the Christian church and never making Christ their own. You will go to hell if that's how you expect to make it. We're not justified by baptism. We're not justified by growing up in a Christian home and Christian circles. We're not even justified by believing in justification by faith alone. Sometimes we think that right doctrine alone saves. So you're not justified by believing in justification by faith alone either. You're justified by believing in Jesus Christ personally. Faith alone in Jesus Christ, embracing him as all our righteousness that we need to stand before God, seeing that everything I need is in him. He is all. All the good we didn't do, he did it for us. All the wrong we did do, he paid it for us. He, Christ, is our righteousness. No, not even faith is our righteousness. Sometimes we go on a, we curve off the beaten path. And that's what question and answer 61 is warning us against. We're justified by faith. We begin to think, my faith is my righteousness before God. I'll hold up my faith. Here's my faith, God. You'll accept me because of my faith. Ain't it pretty? No, your faith isn't very pretty. It's not very perfect. If it's like mine, it's up and down. It's not my faith that's my righteousness before God. It's Christ that's my righteousness before God. And faith is the instrument that connects me to Christ, to receive him. That's all it is. The instrument that connects me to Christ and that appropriates him is the old theological word that makes him my own property, takes him to myself. And all with all his merits and say, your obedience is mine, Lord. I need that. Your righteousness is mine, Lord. Your perfect sacrifice, your payment is mine, Lord. That's faith. We do not put faith in our faith. Our faith is never perfect. But it's the instrument by which we take hold of Christ and receive him with all his merits for our righteousness. Faith looks to Jesus, not to itself. And then I want to close with one line, the last line from question and answer 60. If only I accept this gift with a believing heart. You must do something. You must come to Jesus as an unworthy sinner. You must call upon the name of the Lord as unworthy and unrighteous. It's not that your doing that will save you, but your doing that will take you to the one who saves you, Jesus Christ. And again, just by hanging out in the hallowed halls of Christianity, it's not going to get you to heaven. It's by falling down before the Lord Jesus as a corrupt, unworthy sinner. And like the tax collector, falling down before God, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And he went home justified. When we lay down our lives before God and claim the merits of the only worthy one who offered his life for us, Jesus Christ, then God says, not guilty. Innocent, righteous forever. May God grant us each that gift. Amen. Lord our God, thank you for providing for us what we did not have in ourselves. What love. When we were unrighteous, you sent your Son to accomplish perfect righteousness for us. Thank you for giving us the gift of faith so that that righteousness may be given to us as a free gift and we might stand righteous before you. Oh, help us to run to you, Holy Spirit, run to Jesus to claim that gift and make it our own. Make him our own. Lord, give that to us that we may enjoy that peace of God that passes all understanding and live in the freedom of the children of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.